Because when we talk about virginity, it's always we're talking about women,
and it's framed around whether your husband will want you or not, or whether he'll think you're worth it.
You didn't
or not.
Ask me if I want my husband.
Oh, I get it. That actually, as much as we can say no, love yourself, that's enough. I don't think it fills us up 100%. Hello and welcome to TMS Hot Day.
I'm Renee
and I'm Courtney.
We're back.
Welcome to a midweek episode,
there
everybody.
We go. How's everybody been doing?
Well, how has everybody been doing,
especially after this most recent episode? It's a lot.
Yeah, heaviness. It's true. Heavy stuff on the mental health. And if you haven't listened to this week's main episode, we were talking about mental health literally. Yes. And our experience with it, and just sad seasonal affective disorder.
I just don't think it's a coincidence that seasonal affective disorder is sad.
Yeah, it's really bad. Like, it's cold outside, it's dark from like 4 p.m
I need it to lighten up ASAP,
and it has been for months. The girls are down bad.
I feel like when you get to like the end of September, especially in the UK.
Yes, October. October is, yeah, and then things are wet and it's just cold.
Dark,
I went up to Manchester and it was snowy.
Stop.
Like snow on the ground.
We gotta leave this place.
It was freezing cold.
Operation leave the UK, man.
Talk about Manchester. Festival of Praise was amazing. Festival of Praise, I think, is like a yearly thing.
Yeah,
and it's like an annual. Thank you for English. Yearly. Sometimes act like you've gone to school.
It's the same.
Annual thing. hosted by the same church every time, but it was hosted by a Redeemed Church, Jubilee RCCG, based in Manchester. And they had like Nathaniel Bassey, Dunson Ayukin, honestly Sinach, realized has bangers that has lasted generations. Because see how many young people were in this arena, like 21,000 people. Singing, I would say about 70% of them were youth.
Wow.
The youths. Yeah, like less than 25 years old, uni students singing Sinach. And it's so true, like we all grew up on her songs, like if you grew up in church and stuff. But it was just so amazing to see.
Beautiful.
Like, it's crazy. Young people are out here really
on fire for God.
Warehouse Worship was there and they're blowing up a lot, they're doing an amazing job. So yeah, I really enjoyed Festival of Praise. Bumped into a lot of the sisters whilst out there.
I love
that. Yeah, some of you caught me like a rat on the highway.
Screaming.
I was just trying to do my worship
Have you seen that meme of that brat store?
It's not me, but it was. Yeah. And it was so nice to speak to them. But yeah, that was my experience in the coldness of Manchester.
Chilly. Well, whilst you were in the coldness of Manchester, I was in the coldness of London.
Yeah, how was that?
Wonka.
Oh, how was Wonka?
No, I loved it.
Yeah.
Guys.
Yeah.
Take me back to being a kid. I want to go to his factory.
Yeah.
Like, and it just made me think of Rodal, being a kid.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination. YahooFinance.com.
Kid reading like children's books, like just the purity and the joy
of it
in
all.
Doing things like eating chocolate.
Yeah,
like,
the height of serendipity. Wonka is like, it's such a feel good film.
It really is
such a feel. And I am very surprised that Timothy Chalamet. I haven't watched anything else with him in it. I know he's in Dune.
Oh. I don't know who this will offend. Dune is one of the worst films I've ever seen.
And that thing has won so many awards. And I don't understand. Even from the trailer alone.
Really?
Yeah. It looks like they forgot to color grade it. No offense to anybody
whose
work
that
is.
CPR grading.
Very great.
It's quite a serious
thing. Yeah. So I've never seen his work.
Terrible.
Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
Was that him singing?
I don't know, you know.
Because if
I haven't researched
it. Yeah, I don't know anything about him. But shout out to him. He did really well as a Willy Wonka. And Johnny Depp's Willy Wonka is very hard to follow.
Very strong.
One of the best characters ever.
Very strong. Very strong.
Yeah.
But no, I love the characters in it. Little Noodle. Oh my gosh, my babes.
Yeah.
Had her entire, you know,
world.
Worth and riches stripped from this.
Her whole world was
uncle.
Turned upside down.
Anyways. Sorry,
spoiler
alert.
Well, that's a big spoiler.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. Go back. Eject. Oh my God. We're going to have to insert an insert. Spoiler alert. We're going to have to put in a caption or something. Sorry, guys. Wow, it's always me.
You should deal with that.
She said, you should deal with that. Work on that. Work
we haven't on even it. Said what we're going to be talking about in this episode, actually. We just jumped straight into it.
I know. What are we going to be talking about? Well, CDB.
Yeah.
I've got my agenda.
What's your agenda, babe?
On my agenda, we have slow living.
Mm-hmm.
Give me one second. For those that are purely listening,
saying it slowly so you can remember.
Yeah. But I realized I wasn't going to remember. For those that are listening in and could not see me, I went to go and look up my notes. Self love can't replace romance.
Oh.
And digital.
This is so bootleg. It's like someone is forcing you to. You brought these topics.
Because you know what, yeah, I've been thinking about these topics during the week, so I had to note them down so I don't forget them. And clearly, it didn't work.
It's okay.
We're going to be talking about self love can't replace romance.
Yeah.
We're also going to be talking about slow living.
Yeah.
And then we're also going to be talking about digital.
Nah, whoever digital modesty must think.
They must think I didn't go to school. I'm telling
you. No, they must think we've never podcasted before.
They said, oh, bring on something about banter and all them kind of things. You see, when you're in flow,
yes, it's a different. Flow state.
When you're in this haphazard, chaotic, anyways, that was me.
Yeah.
What's on your agenda, Courtney?
I saw a girl on YouTube post a video about how she regrets keeping her virginity.
Oh.
From a Christian perspective, and it was actually such a good watch.
Really?
Such an interesting watch. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. We can talk about that. Yeah. I haven't watched it.
Yeah, so it just popped up on my For You page, and I thought, maybe I'm not the target audience. But I watched it, and I think her name was, I even made a note of it. Her name was, because you guys should go and watch the channel.
Yeah.
A Journey with Jordan. So I'm believing her name is Jordan.
Yeah.
And
she said, I'm believing just her putting name two and two Jordan. Together.
Jordan, absolutely amazing person. From the 12 minutes I watched of her. She was just very real and honest, which was like, you know, growing up in the church, it was posed to her that if she kept her virginity, obviously I'm hugely paraphrasing, go and watch the video for her actual experience.
Yeah.
But it was posed to her that like, if you keep your virginity, God will reward you with a husband and a happy marriage and all of that. And it's like, now she's older, she's come to the realization that no, there is no promise to these things. God does not promise us marriage, doesn't promise us like this health, happy, perfect relationship if we remain virgins. Like we're remaining celibate, abstinent, we're going on this purity journey because we want to honor him, and that's literally it.
I thought
it was so real and honest, because she was saying how like, it's not that she would have changed her decision, she would have still remained a virgin, but she wishes people had told her the truth about why she was doing it, and she wishes she had just had, you know, better motives throughout, because now she feels a bit, not disappointed, but you know when like you feel a bit hopeless because you're like, oh, this I've been doing this because I thought I would get this. Mm. And now I realize that actually I'm not owed that.
Yeah.
Now I feel a bit like, oh, I've been robbed of something.
Yeah, man.
Which I thought was just so nice and honest, because this journey of faith is hard, man. It's and it kind of ties into that the main episode from last week. And obviously we released that clip around like the idolatry of marriage. And some people in the comments were talking about like, you know, it also relates to purity and virginity, and a lot of people holding their purity as like an idol, like a point of pride for themselves, thinking that it will guarantee them like the perfect life, the perfect relationship. But actually, that's far from the case.
And some of you will even be disappointed, because some of the folks that you'll end up with, they ain't nothing worse. They're holding on to there for somebody. You get the somebody and he ain't nobody.
You're actually not serious. But I think it's just interesting when virginity is framed as like this prize or this like, I think it's actually a really big, I wouldn't even say it's a blessing. I think it's just a really big, interesting area within Christianity, where it's like, oh, I'm a virgin. You hold that maybe above purity or above devotion to God, because of its complexity with womanhood and who we are as women.
Yeah.
It's just like, this huge sense of pride and identity as well for us. It's like, are you a virgin or are you not? Well, if you're not, then it means this about you. If you are, then it means this about you. And it's like, actually my relationship with God is what defines
me. And this is the thing, right? It's this continual policing of women's bodies.
Yeah.
Whether it is, you know, you're out here having sex or you're not having sex. Yeah. It's this whole idea of having to present as pure, not to obtain any kind of consecration or closeness with God, but to obtain a husband.
Yeah.
Because when we talk about virginity, it's always, we're framed talking about women.
And it's framed around whether your husband will want you or not, or whether he'll think you're worth it.
You didn't
or not.
Ask me if I want my husband.
Oh,
you don't ask me if I want this man that's caught like 55 bodies. Yeah, ask me.
Nobody.
But all
cared.
Of a sudden, it's your body count is over 3. Oh,
harlots.
You stop counting. Harlots.
Harlots.
You're a slut.
Literally. Oh my God. Not even this actually. Yeah, so, no. Every time we do one of these episodes, I'm just you dirty slut. You dirty slut.
And you know what I love? Like Nigerians, but Africans generally, but Nigerians, the intonation on certain things. So you have been sleeping around.
Literally, I didn't know you were a dirty
house. I had no knowledge of you opening your legs for every Tom, Dick, and Harry.
Who in this compound has not been with you? Anyway, Shaq, this is not a body shaming. Or,
it's not body shaming.
This is not, no, it's not body shaming. No, it's slut shaming.
Slut
shaming. Ah, even slots. Hey, God.
Slots.
I'm probably going to cut this out.
Call it skets.
Dirty skets. You dirty skets. If you watch last week.
Yeah. You know what we're talking about, the skets and that.
But yeah, it's just weird. Like, so anyways, Jordan's video. I just thought it was really honest and very like... what I liked about it was she even said in the video, like, I actually can't encourage you if you feel like, you know, you're a virgin and you're kind of upset about the fact that you're still single when, like, God, when will all this happen? Like, I can't encourage you because I'm even struggling to encourage myself. Mm. And it made me reflect on this journey of faith, you know, as two Christians, that sometimes the resolve is just sobriety.
Yeah.
And the only place you can actually find encouragement and joy is the fact that God is who he says he is.
Yeah.
But sometimes you realize just how it's like if you realize, so like when you realize that the tooth fairy isn't real, or if like I'm imagining for a child, I never believed, but like
what was it about our parents where they don't like to tell us lies? Like
this is
that?
Their hard-earned money.
I know, they said, you give me that Christmas list that you want. Santa who?
You're not going to worship anybody else.
Mr. and Mrs. Klaus.
God, who the hell are these white people? And also, it's not something they grew up with, right? So you don't pass down traditions you don't know.
Tooth fairy.
Do you get what I
mean? It's a fairy. You want me to use evil spirit tooth in my fairy. House? Tooth fairy.
Crazy.
Because one stupid tooth fell out of your mouth that somebody's coming to pick it up.
But yeah, like if you find out that Santa Claus isn't real, you lose the magic. You
Christmas.
Lose the joy. Do you get what I mean? Yeah. And actually, there's nothing on the other side of that. It's just lost. And you still get presents, exactly. But like, it may have lost the magic. Mm. It may have lost the magic. That grammar was awful.
Sorry.
Yay! Yay! Somebody has 2 degrees. Yay! You may have lost the magic.
Hey, bilingual.
Bilingual. It's English and illiteracy.
Nah, do you know how funny that was?
Proficient in illiteracy.
The penny dropped when I heard that's like the processing error.
Proficient in illiteracy. Anyways, it may have lost the...
I said, what? Malfunction.
Literally malfunction. It may have lost the magic.
Yeah.
And yes, you still have the presence, but the presence doesn't seem as magical anymore. Yeah. It doesn't seem as exciting. And you're left with just the reality.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes that's with our faith as well. Like there's a sadness that comes with knowledge. Do you get what I mean? Which is, once you come to this revelation that just because you're a virgin doesn't mean you're going to get the perfect husband.
Mm.
It does leave you a bit upset.
Yeah.
You know, not even upset, but like, it's like with Lamentations or the Book of Ecclesiastes or sometimes even with some of the Proverbs, the truth is sometimes just burdensome.
Sorry,
TMS Hot Takes is not meant to be heavy in any way.
Yeah. Unserious. Sorry,
unserious. But yeah, just go and listen to A Journey with Jordan.
It's funny that we're talking about, you know, video. Virginity, romance, virginity. And all that kind of stuff, because I think it's a good segue
into
a TikTok video I saw. Mm. For context, for those that have not seen the video, a babe was basically ranting about the fact that self-love and this whole self-care movement, self-love movement rather, is still not enough to replace the fact that she desires romantic love.
100%.
But not only that, that she, okay, so this was a woman who was plus size. She's like white. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I was struggling to say white. Sorry, because you never know what's
after up. Your woggies.
Yeah, your that's why.
You but and race tipped around it.
That's
Renee.
Why I said I have to I'm make joking. Sure in the descriptions. You know, this is the clips they'll put up against me in 10 years time. But yeah, it was a white woman who didn't classify herself as conventionally beautiful. Mm. And she was like, I can't basically self-love myself into, you know, feeling fulfilled when there is clearly what I feel is a gaping hole by lack
not
of
having a exactly. relationship.
But also the fact that like, oh, you know, everybody that I've been with has not been a serious person. And I feel like, am I ever going to get that romantic love? And I feel almost bad to admit it because everyone is, oh, self-love, these center men. I want a man.
I want a man.
I want a man.
Yeah, that's good.
So where do you fall, Courtney? Can we self-love ourselves away from men? Can we decenter men to the point of, you know, just living in fulfillment?
No. Decenter, yes, but they'll be center adjacent.
Do you know what? Yeah, I hear what she was saying.
I do.
I think, and you know what? Some of the responses, I was like, you guys are mean out here, man. Some of the things they were saying. I get it. Not everyone, but people have a desire to be with a companion. Mm-hmm. I have a desire to be with a companion. Same. You do. It's quite nice.
Yeah.
It's quite normal. It's quite normal. And I do think
bring your mic closer to you.
Oh, not me. What do you call it? It's really downstairs. And I do think there is something to be said about us always going to the extremes.
Mm.
Like the self-love, decenter men are not needed. Yeah. I definitely get it. And it's something that we've spoken about on this podcast a lot of times. But there is something in that persistent messaging of men not being important or me not needing a man that is almost delusional.
That's actually a really good way to put it.
It's delusional.
100%. I think it is. I think it's hard, right? Because you say like, oh no, like men are not the be all and end all, and they're really not, but they are some part of it.
That,
you know? And I think being desirable, I think sometimes this like rhetoric of like, oh, self-love, love yourself and that's enough comes from people who they have experienced being desirable, having someone, and then they realize that that's not enough to fulfill you. That's so I completely believe in the validity of having a man love you is not enough for you to feel completely whole. Do you know what I mean? However, the same is true on the reverse, whereas all you've had is self-love and then you also realize that that's also not enough to fill you. Sometimes you do want to know that somebody else has you as their priority. Somebody else desires you and wants you as much as you love yourself or whatever, and some of us are even struggling with that. It does become helped by the fact that, but there is someone who loves me. You know, like even when you think about your family or your friends, like even when you hate yourself, at least you know somebody else likes me.
Yeah, someone likes me.
Do you get what I mean? So there has to be something there worth exploring. And so I get it that actually, as much as we can say, no, love yourself, that's enough. I don't think it fills us up 100%. The same way that friendship love, like as much as we toot about sisterhood, it will still leave you wanting something extra. We are multifaceted people and we live very multi-dimensional lives. And so if we feel like I'm not getting it from here, there can still be this emptiness that we have to contend with.
And it's sad. We get it and we hear it, sis, because sometimes you want some.
Sometimes, you know what I mean? Actually, horniness is very real. Let's actually be real about that, because a lot of people are like, oh, you don't need someone to like you. You don't need it. Firstly, I am a person made with an appetite and a craving for something. So what the bloody hell?
Decenter man.
But sometimes you just can't, like, you can't fight against your natural desire for that. Do you get what I mean? And it can just, it can be really sad. Like, really, really sad.
I ain't gonna lie to you. I don't want the mechanic card. I want the real card.
Do you know what shocked me the other day?
What?
There are vibrators on Boohoo.com.
Stop. Boohoo.
Renee. Was it Boohoo or Pretty Little Thing?
Stop.
One of the two.
Boohoo.
I think it might even be PLT, actually. One of the two. I was browsing for clothes.
Look at
the disclaimer. So innocent. So innocent. I was browsing for clothes, and you know, I was on the phone to Mary, my little sister. And so, you know, when you're talking to somebody, you're not focused on what it is you should be doing. So I was just like looking at all the different categories and stuff, and then I saw well-being or wellness or something. I clicked on it, then I saw like sexual wellness or whatever. I clicked on it. I said, I literally on the phone, she's like talking about one deep thing. She's like, oh, they're my assignments. I'm like, they sell vibrators on this website.
Mary must have been like,
and she said, what? And I was like, no, Mary, I'm looking at dildos, vibrators, and plugs.
Wow. Well,
it's not my stuff.
Yeah,
you know, I'm not down with it.
Yeah, but the reason we ain't down with it is because we want the real stuff, you know.
I'm gonna say something that is so off brand.
But that's what TMS.
This is not a safe space. This is, I don't care what you think. This is not a safe space. This is an interesting topic for you. If somebody you know does something problematic on the internet, would you confront them on the internet or in real life?
In real life first.
Yeah.
In real life first and see how they receive it.
Yeah.
And then if it's.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm not trying to receive it, then
you take it.
Even taking it on the internet, there's ways of doing it.
Yeah.
Because I think people are just so problematic when they're trying to like correct you and verse in public.
Yeah.
They're not doing it because they're genuinely worried that it will lead people astray, but they're using it as an opportunity to virtue signal.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. And like to dissociate themselves from the situation, like, oh no, but I'm not like that.
I've seen you, we've gone for tea together. Oh,
we are boys in real life.
That's crazy.
Yeah, the reason why I say that is this is not about NC, but like I recently this week someone I know ish did something which I was like, why the heck would you do that? And my instinct was, I'm not even going to engage in a conversation because I know what you're doing. Like, I know you're doing this for attention, or I know you're doing this for clicks, whatever, so I don't want to engage. But then a part of me was like, oh, but publicly, like, you should kind of not look down, what do you correct?
Yeah,
correct what is being done. But then a part of me was like, why? And I just think it's interesting because even if that person has responded well to like private correction, people may still expect you to publicly say something. And I don't think that's always necessary.
Yeah, I don't think it is.
Yeah, so I was just saying that because like, as much as TMS Hot Takes is a safe space, I want my reputation with people to be that I do things in a wise and safe way and not just use people for content.
Yeah, I think it's cringy.
It is, and it's unnecessary.
Your content can't be built around tearing people down.
Yeah.
Because this content game that everybody is in is tough.
It's really
tough.
And
it's very easy for you to have like started with good intentions or started with like, you know, I'm trying to do something that's impactful and it didn't land well.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people like that.
Now you've just got beef with people.
For no reason. And people are going hard at you that don't know you from anywhere. And people that know you from somewhere.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
Exactly. So be safe out here, boys and girls.
Speaking of content,
yeah,
another thing that's popped up on the interwebs is this idea of digital modesty.
Yeah, talk to me about that.
So I've been seeing a couple of clips recently around this notion of digital modesty being, hey, everything is so public and so online all the time. People are always feeling as though they're compelled to share everything about their life online. So digital modesty is basically not sharing everything, keeping things private, trying to be modest about what people have access to about your life online. What do you think about that?
I believe in privacy. I believe in privacy. It's funny, I saw another video, I don't know if it's the same, but this lady talking about, like, you know how with Get Ready With Me's now, people are just so comfortable coming onto the internet naked.
Crazy.
And I saw, oh my gosh, it's so true. Like, we've insane. Actually, because of the nature of technology, there are no barriers sometimes to what it is you see of someone's life, unless they've put the barrier up. Do you get what I mean? Like, before, you can't, like, even we live together, you can't see me get dressed and leave unless I leave my door open.
Mm.
So it's kind of like we choose the doors we leave open, even on the internet.
Yeah.
And I think now more and more we are choosing to put up less.
Yeah.
Because of content. Like, people are recording videos, even as innocently, we're recording a video right now in our living room. Mm-hmm. So basically you've got entry into that space, and whatever we choose to show on camera is giving you access to that space, like to know what our rooms look like or our kitchen looks like or things like that. Yeah. And I was talking to someone recently and they were like, oh, you know, sometimes I just be watching your episodes and I think, oh my God, what does their house look like? And it really made me interested. It really made me, because it's a natural intrigue, do you get what I mean? And it really piqued my interest because I was like, it's so true. Like, there are a lot of dimensions of privacy that we intentionally keep up, but a lot of people also intentionally remove or just don't really care for.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because it's made us lose this sense of privacy.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do need to keep private and keep sacred.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's interesting because, I mean, the more you share about your life, the more people are interested in it.
And the more people are entitled to it too.
Exactly.
Yeah, I thought it was a really interesting take. Probably just a fancy term for privacy. Or like maintaining boundaries with the internet.
Digital modesty.
But I do think it's interesting considering how much access people can have to us at all times, irrespective of whether we're trying to choose those boundaries or not. So the fact that you can post up like a flipping tree and people will be able to source and locate that tree in like
two seconds.
It's ridiculous.
Literally.
So I definitely agree. I think as much as digitization has enabled us to be so connected with people all the time, it's actually working against us because we know way too much about each other, but without the intimacy that's required to be able to sustain meaningful relationships that are also reciprocated. And I think it's also still, like, when I think about parasocial relationships, I think in the extremities, I think it's weird that people know everything about you, but these people are strangers to you.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? Like, they know everything about your life, where you live, what you do, your whole life story, and not in a way that has been kind of like framed intentionally to like support people, but just, oh, you know, I'm a creator, or like, oh, I want to share things about my life online.
Yeah.
And now people know everything about you. Facts. Your whole career history. Facts. It's even the fact that people can stalk you so easily these days.
Oh, professionally even. And it's that thing you said about intimacy, right? Like, it's even the intimacy that builds safety. Like, the internet isn't necessarily a safe place, and you're not necessarily safe just because you've shared.
Not even
in fact, you're less safe the more you
probably
share.
At risk
high time. It's quite worrying how much we share with the internet, how willing we are as well. And I think it's because we the internet is becoming our whole world to some degree, right? And we have profiles on the internet. We have to maintain that profile. We want it, some of us want it to be accurate to who we are in real life.
Yeah.
But also because it's the main way we are interacting with people, naturally as communal beings, we want people to have some kind of insight into our lives. And so I just think the online is blurring into the real life, and we're forgetting that online is not real life.
It's not real life,
and there's safety in that distinction.
There's crazy people in real life.
Bruh. Crazy.
It's not good.
Have you experienced anything like crazy happening from like the internet blurring into your real life?
I don't think I've experienced anything super crazy. I think that there has definitely been moments of entitlement where folks will just kind of get in touch and expect things from you just because of what you share or what you post. So it's like demands on my time, or like, hey, I see that you do this. Can I have this of your time? And I'm just like, I get it, but your approach was all wrong. And like, I don't know you from anywhere.
Anywhere, I don't know you.
Or it's like, oh, my least favorite thing right now is like, can I pick your brains?
Yeah.
What does that even mean? It's like, can I pick your brains? It's like, is that the way that you're going to?
Yeah.
So I think for me, it's more so been the entitlement of my time, or entitlement to my time, or oversharing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I love like building intentional relationships and stuff like that, but it doesn't start with oversharing.
Yeah.
I don't know you. As much as you may know things about me or things that I've said or like my viewpoints and whatnot, I actually do not know you. Yeah. And I think the focus should be on let's get to know each other first. So yeah, just very weird like messages. So it's just been like, hey, can you help me with this specific issue that is very sensitive? And I'm like, whoa, I'm not the person you should be speaking to about that. And I'm happy that I've opened the doorway for you to feel comfortable to talk about it. I can't be your audience.
Boy, that's good.
What about you, Miss CDB? Have you ever been? Yeah, I don't know. I think I even know some of the ones that you may be thinking of.
Man, it's tough. I've been on the internet like creating content for like 8 years, and it's been a lot. Like, I'm really thankful for it. And for the most part, I have an amazing community. But there have been some interactions. Mm. Like, for example, that thing you were saying, people feel very entitled to your persona and who they in their mind think you are.
Yeah.
And I'm not ignorant. Like, I've created a brand, and you create entitlement from the fact that you supply something. People get attached to that thing and want you to be that thing for them.
Mm.
And so I'm not hard on people for being, for example, if you see me outside and you're like, oh my gosh, like, hey sis, like, there's that sense of familiarity. Yeah. I get where it's coming from. Yeah. We've created that. Do you get what I mean? However, when there becomes an entitlement or a demand on me being something you think I am, but I haven't said that I am, that's when I become a bit like, I am still a person. Like, behind this persona, there is a person.
Mm.
And you need to allow me to be a person. And it's funny, I was having a conversation with one of our friends. We went for like a catch-up lunch, and she was saying, Courtney, don't ever forget that you owe people your wisdom and your perspective, but you don't owe them you.
Mm.
You don't owe them your life.
Yeah.
And like, there are parts of you can keep private. You don't have to share anything or everything that you don't want to. You owe people your wisdom and your perspective. That's your service to people. But outside of that, you owe nobody anything. And like, the more I deep that, the more I'm like, it's so true. Like, I get to control what it is I say, what it is I don't say. And keep those boundaries.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to remember that. But for the most part, like, I have had some people who try to overstep those boundaries. But like, I understand that it's coming from a place of endearment almost. Mm. Like, oh, I've been watching you for a really long time and you've helped me parasocially through some really tough times. And so I want you to also be there for me like this. And sometimes it's just on me to put the boundary and be like, I actually can't be there for you in that way. And it's sad because sometimes you feel like you're disappointing people, but also I have to protect my mental health.
And there's only one of you.
There we go.
It reminds me of when people are like, oh my gosh, like, I love you guys' this friendship. And it's like, oh, trying to be friends. No. At this level, if you got another 15 years in you, then maybe.
Oh, D. G. G.
Maybe.
G-G-G-G-G.
It's not about taking us as the exact
the people you want,
right? Is we're not going to be the exact fulfillment of what you need. We're an example. Go and find somebody else that may be able to do that. It can't be us. Sorry.
Oh, tough times.
We love you, man. Though. Biggest
tough
man thing.
Tough times.
But you know what? Tough times?
Tough times.
They never last.
They never last. They never last. Which actually brings us to the fact that we said we were going to do dilemmas that we haven't. So, time for a dig, dig, dig.
Dilemma.
Hey, girlies. Hey. This is going to be a short one.
Girlies. Hey, girlies. Love it. Love it.
Just, how do you recommend finding career mentors?
Okay.
This year, I really want a career mentor, and it's been something on my 2024 prayer list.
Yep.
Someone who can keep me accountable and discuss my next steps, especially as this year I am entering my final year of uni.
Yeah.
I'm interested in the field of international development, dev finance. Is that development finance?
I think
so. Most maybe. Likely.
Yeah.
Or sustainable finance, which is quite niche. Would you recommend finding someone in my niche area or broaden out to general career advice? Thanks. Love you, sisters. Smiley face.
Smiley face. I think you'd be good to talk about this from the mentorship perspective and whatnot. I'll speak very briefly on it and then hand it over to the queen of sourcing the mentors.
Oh, wow. I don't know how I got that title. Are you okay?
I was going to say, what do you call it? Shout out, Mr. Dream Nation.
Mr. CW.
Yeah, Mr. That's why I was hesitating, because that man's going to banter me, but Mr. it's okay.
CW.
We have to send him this episode and be like, you've been mentioned. But we do love a good Claude, actually one of the upstanding male members of our community. Mm-hmm. But yeah, finding mentorship. Girl, what are you doing to add value? Because right now it sounds like you need somebody to fulfill a need, but a relationship is often about reciprocation. And I think the trap that many of us fall into is, oh, we just need somebody to fill us up, fill us up, fill us up. And it's like, oh, but in what ways are you hoping to also bring them value? Or what ways are you positioning yourself to present as a worthwhile investment?
Mm.
So yes, you have all of these interests, but what are some of the ways that you've actually followed up on your interests? Mm. Have you gone to any events where you could potentially meet mentors? Have you supported at any of these events? Have you signed up to any programs? Mm. Is there any evidence of your proactivity through which a mentor can actually latch onto and say, oh, this person has investment potential? Mentorship is very much about investment.
Mm.
Is this a worthwhile investment of a relationship? Will I see returns on this engagement? Not necessarily in the, you know, you being a business owner or like you being anything, but it's, is there fruit? Is there a reason through which I should invest my time, especially considering you're looking for a mentor? So somebody that's likely to be a little bit further ahead in their career than you. What is it that you are hoping to give, or how can you provide value in some capacity to make it worth their time in mentoring you? What are you showing about yourself that is, you know, a worthwhile investment? I think it's very, very important for you to, yeah, make yourself discoverable. In terms of finding mentors for niche versus, you know, more general, I think start with general right now, just because there doesn't seem to be any specificity in international development finance. Like, is there a particular role progression that you're looking for? Mm-hmm. If so, then a specific mentor or at least advice from somebody in that domain might be helpful. If you're looking for general career advice, or you think you could benefit from that in terms of exploring, I think a good way to also start is make sure that you're proactive in that too. So you've done your research into these are the types of roles that you could have, this is the space, this is the landscape, what does this look like, just so that you are again very attractive to the person or whoever might be in your circle. Have a look at your circle, who is within, you know, your network, or who is one person removed, two people removed that might be worth engaging with. And just generally making sure that you're an attractive candidate for mentorship, and taking your time with it as well. Sometimes we're just waiting for somebody to mentor me for like 2 years or 3 years or whatever. Mentorship is usually something that's built over time. So don't be expecting straight off the bat every single person that you meet that is like slightly older or slightly further down to be like, oh, I want to mentor you.
Yeah,
it might be, you know, progressive. It might be a couple of sessions that you've had with them. It may be a couple of coffees that you have across the year. But definitely something that's a bit progressive. Ugh. English.
It's okay. Whoa. I said used.
Hey! God almighty.
Something that's definitely a bit progressive.
Yeah, thank you. Look, you know when you don't speak English, the English envelops your tongue. Jeez. But yeah, being proactive because it's necessary. But that's just my quid pro quo.
No, that was A1 advice.
Oh, thank
you. A1 advice, girl.
Thank you, I'm sure.
I completely agree. I think sometimes the people around you who you want to mentor, you may not have the capacity to mentor you, but they can do a coffee, they can do a meeting. So firstly, what are the questions you need to ask?
Yeah.
If they give you a little bit of access to their time, know exactly what it is you want to know, whether it's about their journey, what they know, making your needs known as well.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people think they need mentorship when actually what they need is someone to open a door or put them in contact with someone. So know your needs from the bat and assess, what do I actually need from this person?
Yeah.
Is it a specific answer?
Yeah.
Is it continual coaching and mentorship? Or is it a contact or a connection or an opportunity as well? So really know what you need from people, just so that you're not making demands for something which you don't actually need. I think, like you said, if you approach someone for long-term mentorship, even if it's going to be for a couple of months or a year, like you're saying 2024, then know what you're going to offer them in return. So really analyze before you go to them, what are their needs, what are their current interests, what are they working on that you could give value to. So if they're hosting events, can you volunteer? If they're starting a podcast, can you do the editing? That was like in my case. Or if they are, I don't know, starting their own project, how can you assist? What can you just help them with, so that you, the time that they're giving you, you're helping them save time somewhere else? Because you just don't want to be another thing on someone's to-do list. You actually want to be an asset. And like you said, finally, you want to be an investment, which means Be excellent at what you're doing. Continue to brush up on your interests. In terms of where to meet people, make sure that you're in spaces that are common to both of you. So places relevant to development and things that you care about, find yourself in those people. But also, find yourself in those places. But also, most times nowadays, you find your mentors on the internet, man.
Yeah.
Get to adding people on LinkedIn. Make sure that your profile is polished and people know exactly who you are, what you're interested in, where there are areas of common interest. And then send those messages, man. Like, hey, I'd love to have a quick call with you. This is me, like a brief thing. I'm a student or I'm a this and I'm looking to get into that. And I'd really like your insight into this.
Yeah.
And then they'll let you know what they have the capacity for. And lastly, a lot of us think that people are resistant to being mentors, but actually people love it. Like people really actually want to help. They're more open to helping. It's just about what's the time commitment and can I actually be consistent with that? And also, is this a worthwhile exchange for my time? So people are just looking for the right mentee. It's not that they're not open to it. So just position yourself as the right mentee, the one who they need to be pouring into, who will make, you know, be a great, who will create a great return on their investment. And if you do all of that, the right mentor will come along. Also, don't go asking for mentorship from 1,000 people.
Yeah.
You only really ever need one mentor. Because I see that as well. And I've even fallen into that trap sometimes. So I'm like, oh my gosh, you're a great person. You should be my mentor. No.
Whoa.
You should just be a contact. You should be a friend. You should be somebody who I can message from time to time to check in on. But a mentor is a very serious position.
It's a very big commitment too.
A very big commitment. So sometimes not everybody is your mentor just because they're amazing. So find that person who's really going to help you. And sometimes it's not people who are a million miles ahead of you. Sometimes it's the person who's just a couple steps ahead of you who can get you from where you are to where they are. And then you find a new mentor for that next season. That's what I would say. But career mentors, just go for it, man. Put yourself out there. Really put yourself out there.
Love it.
Yeah, man. Well, sisters, we hope that you've enjoyed this episode. This was basically a mashup of interesting, intrusive thoughts.
Yeah, man. It was really giving intrusive thoughts. I love that for us, though.
Yeah, well, enjoy the rest of your week.
If you like, stay where you are.
If you like, give up. No, God forbid.
Keep glowing and growing.
Keep glowing and growing now, for real. And let us know what other topics you'd want us to talk about. Shoot us a DM. Follow us on all socials stuff like that.
You already know, man.
But yeah, be great. Be good. Love you. Let us know what your thoughts are.
Oh, kisses. Bye.
Ciao.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.